Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here. Welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Weekly Show. I'm joined here today with our co-host, Coach Nick. Coach Nick, how are we doing today?
Very good, Coach Steve. How are you? That is an important question.
I'm well. I'm taking it one day at a time. And today, you know, we are recording episode number 35 of the Challenge Weekly Show. I do want to apologize to everyone for missing out on last week. I had a little bit of a life moment happen last week, so I wasn't able to make a recording. And yeah, that life moment was the birth of my first child, my baby boy George. So on the 11th of September, we welcomed my little boy into the world. He was born at 5:53 in the morning, and he was 3.27 kilos and 50 centimeters long. And it's been a wild ride over this past week and a half. All he does is really eat and sleep and occasionally poop. but yeah, it's transitioning into dad life and all the fun things that come with parenthood, which Nick, you know all about, right?
Yeah. Congratulations. Welcome to the other side.
Welcome to the other side. I'm an adult now, Nick. That's it.
I know. I love it though, because the thing is now instantly you've got a completely different perspective on everything. The second that you have that child, it's like everything sort of just changes a little bit, doesn't it?
I joke with my buddies, right? Because, you know, Nick, I'm in my 20s, okay? So we do have a little bit of an older demographic that's within the challenge, you know, usually 30s, 40s and beyond. And I'm in my 20s, okay? So everybody listening to this is probably like, Steve, you're young star, okay? But I tell my mates who are younger than me that life begins at 25. That's what I tell them. Life begins at 25. And I think now at 25, you really are like an infant in the world. So at 25, you're just kind of like been born into the world. And that's when you just start kind of seeing things differently. And then 26, 27 comes around and you're a toddler. And I think now I'm 28. Now I'm a dad, and I think now I'm like a teenager. I'm starting to like kind of see the world really differently and be like, whoa, okay, this is what being an adult is like. So I'm waiting until I transition into a true adulthood where I think that's when my kid becomes a toddler or even like starts answering back to me. But that'll be fun.
Yeah. I had my first child at, I think it was 27. So and yeah, that was just absolutely time to grow up. But yeah, for sure, teenager when you first have a child, and then I think, yeah, adulthood when they do start to walk around, yeah, have an opinion of their own, and you have to figure it all out in the context of the family. But it's cool.
But you know, like I've only been a dad for maybe what, 10 days, right? So it's still very early days, and I'm not going to act like I know anything about being a parent, but I am starting to see interesting comparisons about life as a early parent, and things within the challenge. Okay, this is gonna be an interesting analogy and comparison. Like the first thing I'm noticing a lot is about being prepared. Okay, so at the moment, like our house is almost being run like a restaurant. Okay, interesting analogy, a restaurant. So you know, we've working both my partner Laura and I on keeping everything up to date. So we're washing baby clothes, washing baby bottles, getting all the formula ready and all the things ready, and making sure that there's spew rags here and baby clothes there and baby's getting changed and all the things, right? So we're running it kind of like a restaurant, because if you fall behind, that's when things start to collapse. It's all about being prepared. And that's not too different from something like the challenge, where if you are spending time to be prepared, such as doing meal prep or scheduling times to go and train and communicating with your friends and family about what you're trying to do, that's when the challenge can run away from you. And I think the lessons that I've learned through coaching people in the challenge is to run this household similar to, you know, like a restaurant, being everything prepared and organized. The other thing I'm really starting to relate with as a dad is to, you know, almost be a coach. And for me, the way I see myself as a coach in a fitness health space is to, you know, be a problem solver. So there's a challenge or a problem that we face, and we're trying to work out a solution to that problem. And that's essentially what coaching is. And that's how I see my current approach to being a dad, where, you know, there are certain challenges that we're facing with baby George, and, you know, we're trying to work out solutions to that. And one example is that the little guy loves his little spew. So after we feed him, he likes to have a little bit of a spew, and that's okay. It's a normal baby thing to do. But, you know, we're starting to be concerned, okay, how much is he actually eating, because he's spewing up a big bunch of it. And this might not be what people wanted to listen to when they listen to the Challenge Weekly show here.
Everyone will be pretty standardly up to date with that.
But, you know, we start to problem solve, being like, okay, well, what if we feed him a little bit less, more frequently, because his stomach is much smaller than what we think a stomach is. So, okay, what if we feed him a little bit less, more frequently, rather than a larger amount, you know, spaced out a little bit further apart. And then that is resulting in a lower amount of spew. So what are we doing? We've found a problem. We've tried to measure that problem by the volume of spew. We're trying to apply an intervention by changing the way that we're feeding him. And then we're measuring it again, being like, okay, is he spewing less or spewing more? And is it working? Yes. Is it not? No. And, you know, we've kind of created a list of things that it could be. Okay. Is it the formula? Is it how we're feeding him? Is it, you know, the time that we're feeding him? Is it because we didn't burp him? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we're slowly making our way through this list. And the first one is to change the volume that we're giving him. And that seems to be working. So that's kind of how I approach being a parent. And there's lots of relations to that in the challenge. Okay. I do think the biggest eye-opener that I've seen in the parenting space is its comparison with fitness. Okay. So if you are a new mom or a new dad, or, you know, been a parent, you know that some parenting spaces are very, very, very culty. Okay. So it's very much like my way or the highway. You're doing it wrong. You have to do it the way I'm doing it. And that's quite similar in the fitness space, where it's like, oh, you have to be keto, you have to be vegan, you have to do intermittent fasting, you have to lift weights this certain way, you can't do this, you have to do, you know, there's very much this like kind of cult-like approach to parenting and within the fitness space. And lots of that is driven by like emotions, okay? And, you know, one example is, you know, my partner Laura, and, you know, I'm going to speak briefly about her, but, you know, as a new mum, she's going through a whole range of different emotions, okay? Which we can all expect, okay? And, you know, there's certain things about baby George that she's becoming really like stressed about or worried about. Whereas for me, I need to like take that moment, be the rock and be like, okay, like everything's going to be fine. Almost take that emotion out of what's happening and try to think about it a little bit logical. And, you know, going back to that example of baby spew, okay, you could be really stressed out, be like, oh, is my son eating? Is my son growing? Is he all right? Is he malnourished? Is there something wrong with him? Do I need to take him here? There? You can be really stressed out about that. Or you can just try to approach it logically and be like, all right, try to take that emotion out of for a moment and problem solve it. And then we can find a solution. And again, that's not much different to the challenge and the fitness space, where we get so emotionally involved with, oh, what's, you know, what does Jenny down the street look like? Or are these jeans fitting me the way I want to? Or what are the scales doing? Or, you know, oh, do I look the way that I want to look? You know, we're always kind of emotionally involved with all these things and numbers and comparing ourselves to other people, when sometimes we kind of miss out on this, you know, illogical approach to something. So it's been an interesting week and a half. I think that's what happens with my mind when I'm not working. I just think about things like this. But there's lots of comparisons between being a parent and, you know, approaching something related to fitness or something like the challenge. So I'm excited what the next couple of weeks are going to be like.
Oh, definitely. I think it'll come in handy if there's, you know, the logic applied to things where we can sometimes become very emotional. It is good when you can balance each other out, and it'll swap sometimes. You know, it might be when George gets older and goes out, and Laura will be like, give him his space, and you'll be like, what time are you coming home? And it will change. But it's good when you can swap it around, and, you know, one of you can be the coach in the relationship, just a little bit detached and see it unemotionally and, you know, offer advice and get through it. And the other one is the one who might be a little bit more emotional and attached to it. And I think that's the balance of parenting as well. And but it's good with you, and your analytical mind is going to be good with this feeding side of it, because you'll be able to, when the maternal health nurse asks you how many mils,
I'll be able to tell her exactly.
Put it on a spreadsheet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have one going, but that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. So that's perfect. Yeah, it works really well.
Well, look, baby George is starting his 18-year bulk. Right. So he's in his building phase at the moment. He's better hurry up though, because the Brisbane Olympics is only 11 years away. So he's got a bit of growing to do. He's gonna get there. So no pressure on him.
Is he going to start with gymnastics and stuff leading towards ollie lifting eventually? Is that the plan? Or?
Yeah. So I think for me, what I'd love to get him into, of course, is something like gymnastics, something like little athletics, and something like swimming. So, you know, they're like the foundations, okay. I would love to get him into like gymnastics because I think moving your body around like an instrument, so like a bar, is important, like that kinesthetic body awareness in space, and that transfers really well over to like Olympic lifting or even powerlifting or strength sports in general, or most sports, right? So if you were a gymnast in the past, likely you are pretty competent at physical activities such as most sports. So I think that transfers well over. And little things like, you know, learning how to roll and tumble and, you know, controlling your body through space. Yeah. And it's lucky that there's a little gymnastics club around the corner from us. So we might just walk on over and say hi. Well, when things open up again. Yeah.
Baby George.
Oh. Yeah. But no pressure on him. He can do what he likes, but I'm sure he's likely to follow his daddy.
Of course he will. Yeah.
But look, Nick, let's talk about the challenge. Enough about baby George. It is week 4 in the challenge this week. We are officially over halfway in our first 6-week challenge.
That's crazy. That's crazy. It's insane. And I've been very close to everybody in this challenge and everybody's really doing a good job. Lots of encouraging on the forum and the Facebook and everybody's really knuckling down.
Yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see. And it's great that everyone's motivating each other to keep on going. But then also like motivating themselves where, you know, realistically, like that 2-3 week period is a very short period to notice changes on yourself. You might be looking at yourself in the mirror being like, oh, I don't notice any changes. And then maybe you look at some photos and you're like, oh, I still don't notice any changes. And that's okay. It can take a little bit of time. So I want you to be patient and consistent with what you're trying to do. And, you know, focus on these next 3 weeks to really nail that 6-week challenge.
Yeah, it takes time. It does take time.
It does. Now, talking about, you know, if you are not noticing any changes at this point in the challenge, on your nutrition template, you'll have an option now to actually reduce your caloric intake. So if you have chosen the fat loss option in the front page of your nutrition template, now the way that I built it is that little number on the top right hand corner of your nutrition template, which says how many days left in the challenge, that slowly ticks down day to day. And then as it ticks over to the halfway mark in three weeks, the program changes slightly to allow you to tick a box to reduce your calories further. Now, what I'm going to invite you to do is if you're not seeing any change, so if you think that you're in a plateau, you're just not noticing any change, make sure you head on over to the FAQ section of your nutrition template and you'll see a nice flow chart so you can start to determine, okay, well, what can I do to continue seeing changes? And it ultimately comes down to two options. Either you can reduce your calories further or increase your physical activity. They're the two options that we can do. Sometimes it's really easy to reduce our caloric intake. So if you're having 3,000 calories, okay, if you reduce it by 10%, that's easy. But if you're having 1400 calories, if you try to reduce that, oh, you might be hungry, you might be tired. So it might make more sense to increase your physical activity. And that could be by just going for an extra walk, increasing your steps, try to park further away from the supermarket, these types of things to increase your overall energy expenditure.
Well, I like that option that you've included. I had to play around with it on mine today to see, because I knew it was coming. So I wanted to check. And yeah, I ticked it and it gave me some calories, which is good.
And it's not a big drop. It's only 10%, so a very small amount. So don't expect that we want to starve you or anything. We want to manage our energy intake accordingly so that we can still train, we can still exercise, so that we can still maintain as much muscle as we can so that we can prioritize fat loss, which is the ultimate goal.
Mm. And it's a shortish amount of time left, really, so you can afford to push it if that's what you want to do.
Being week 3 and the end of the challenge just around the corner, it's time to start talking about what's next. So the first thing I want to talk about, Nick, is the challenge liftoff.
Dun, dun, dun.
Challenge liftoff. So we ran our very first challenge liftoff last challenge where we invited you to join us in a celebration of strength, and we invited you to upload a video of yourself completing a deadlift to our Facebook support group. So our Max and Maxine Challenge Facebook support group. And that was really quite a success. So we had, I think it was close to 50 entrants to our deadlift challenge liftoff, our first one. And it wasn't a merit-based competition. You know, we wanted everybody to upload their best effort at a one rep max. Some individuals posted, you know, their 5 rep max or their 10 rep max. You know, some individuals used wrist wraps, others used a sumo stand, some did just regular. No dramas, no issues. It was just really cool to see everyone pushing themselves and their and celebrating how strong they can get.
And celebrating the glorious lift that is the deadlift.
The deadlift,
all its
yes.
variations.
For this challenge liftoff, for this challenge, I would like to invite you to upload a video on the last weekend of this challenge. That's from the 7th to the 10th of October. So the last weekend of this challenge, upload a video onto our Facebook support group. Use the hashtag challenge liftoff so we can see that you're involved in that. And the exercise this time will be the squat.
Joe Wallace. He doesn't want it to be the squat.
But Joe and Ian probably enjoy doing a good squat for us. Now, just to reiterate, you know, it's not based on merit, so it doesn't matter how much you're lifting. Let that be, you know, a 10 kilo dumbbell or 50 kilo barbell or 200 kilos on your back, whatever it is. You know, post a video of your best effort on a squat. That could be a goblet squat, front squat, a back squat, a low bar squat, overhead squat. If you are in lockdown, you don't have any equipment, you could try a pistol squat, all the other different variations of like a single leg squat. So there's lots that we can do for a squat, but show us your best effort at the squat. Safely, of course, because we know that, you know, a deadlift, you were just picking it up off the ground. If you can't do it, you can just drop it, you know, on you go. But a squat, because you have to lower yourself down, you know, be safe if you are going a little bit heavier. But I'm excited to see what people can do with the squat.
Yeah, make sure you've got a spotter if you're going to go a bit crazy with it.
Yep. Or like, you know, safety arms on a squat rack or something like that. Yeah, I'm excited for that. It's going to be a good one.
Oh, I can't wait. Better start preparing.
Well, it's only a couple of weeks away. So that's three weeks away. So yeah, to start practicing going out a little bit heavier on a squat.
Yes, sounds good.
So the next date, which is important, is the awards night. So our awards night is a live event streamed to our Facebook support group where Coach Nick and I announce the awards for the challenge. And that includes announcing our top 10 and our top 3, so all of our winners. We are also announcing our community award. That's for individuals who are really involved in our communities on the forum, Instagram, Facebook. And also we're announcing our People's Choice Award as well. Now, just on the a bit of a soft launch, we actually have a new award that we're going to release as well. So this award is sponsored by gymandfitness.com.au, and they're giving us a power rack, okay, a power rack to give away. And a power rack is a big squat rack, to the value of, I think it's close to $1,000. And that will be a coach's pick. So Coach Nick and I will be picking a winner for the Gym and Fitness Award, and that could be based on, you know, the effort that this person puts in, or based on you know, their overall physique, but we will be announcing that in our awards night. So a bit of a surprise for those of us who are listening to the podcast here. You could win yourself a power rack for at home.
Yeah, they're awesome. If anyone's done my lives and you've seen my gym setup, I've got one, and there's nothing it can't do.
Yep, I actually just ordered one from Gym and Fitness actually. Yeah, I ordered one of the Space Saver ones. So they're a folding one. So yeah. So because I train in my single garage, so it's not a big space. So I wanted a power rack, because if you are on my Instagram, you can kind of see my flimsy little squat rack that I have, just the two independent stands, and I have to use big kettlebells to hold them down so they don't tip over. So I thought it was time. Yeah. Well, like, see, I get this. I bent my barbell.
Oh, because of the big deadlift or something else?
No, just because of like the load that I use with my barbell. There's like a nice little, it's called creep, where it bends slightly. So yeah, I actually went and bought a new barbell, a power barbell, so that has a higher tensile strength. So I thought, okay, if I'm going to go out and buy more equipment, I might get a power rack. So I ordered a power rack from Gym and Fitness. If you don't know this, we have a pretty cool deal with Gym and Fitness, where they give us 25% off, which is huge. So if you're in the market for plates, barbells, squat racks, bench, you know, big pulley cable apparatuses, all the bits and pieces, 25% off can be huge. So I went and ordered this folding squat rack, which was, I think, was about $800, got 25% off, and ordered a few other bits and pieces. It was free delivery over $700. So like it was a good deal. So if you are interested in buying some more equipment, make sure you head on over to the Challenge website, go to resources, you can find partners. And then from there, we have some of our partners, one being, you know, Gym and Fitness, another being, you know, One More Rep, which is a clothing company for that look after the Challenge. So, you know, you can score yourself some pretty cool deals.
Yeah, you can't go wrong buying gym equipment, I reckon. You just can't go wrong.
Well, it's one of those kind of, quote, assets that don't really depreciate that much, especially now, you know, with what's happening in the world. If you go out and buy, you know, a barbell, some plates, you use it for 6 months, you could probably sell it for similar price to what you buy it, as long as it's, you know, looked after and clean. You know, there's a bit of a black market for gym equipment at the moment. So go get yourself some gear.
Yeah, wise investment. Oh, that's exciting.
And the last date here is the 1st of November. The 1st of November is the first day of our November challenge. So that is, you know, 6 weeks-ish from today. And yeah, it's going to be a fun one as well. So that's going to take us into kind of like that mid-December, so leading up to summer. So that could be like our summer challenge. So if you want to, you know, shred for summer or get lean for summer, this will be the challenge for you. So, you know, really think about this idea of, you know, this challenge, 6 weeks, you might have been working on, let's say, a building phase. So you might have gone through 6 weeks of building muscle, gaining, you know, a little bit of weight. And then, you know, this next 6 weeks, you could do like a fat loss phase. So you can cycle between phases of muscle gain and then muscle loss. Then maybe you want to maintain for a challenge. So you can really have this rolling on challenge effect, which would be a really cool long-term way to plan your physique development.
Definitely. And it's always nicer to be able to get lean towards the summer, because you don't get as freezing, so you don't have to walk around with a giant coat on all the time. But yeah, and also like getting your steps in and your exercise and things is often easier to do once the days get longer and things. So it is a nice time to do a bit of a shredding phase. But if you want to build as well, that's great. You'll have more time in the day.
Okay, Nick, look, let's move on to our next segment, which is our non-scale victories, our NSVs. Take us away. What did you find this week?
All right. Yeah, so in our NSVs, they've been going strong. So I've got the first one is Lisa Casey. So shout out to Lisa Casey. This is not for your meal prep, but I'm liking that as well, just as an aside. But Lisa Casey says, finally finished this 503K virtual challenge today, all treadmill Ks, or around 5,600,000 steps or billion?
No, that's too many steps. That's 500,000 to 600,000 steps.
Oh, I got it. Sorry, there's a little thing. There's a little hyphen in there, because I was just looking at that number, and I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, okay. Sorry, 500,000 to 600,000 steps. So that's awesome. That's awesome. Really, really good. That's so awesome. Well done, Lisa. The next one is Eve Alicia. Non-scale victory for me today. I've never been able to master push-ups on my toes today. I did 2 sets of 10. Woohoo. Well, that's fantastic, because that's always a really good milestone in the gym when you can do something like that. Your push-ups, your pull-ups, things like that, they make you feel fantastic. So good on you, Eve.
Yeah, that's awesome. Wahoo. You got to put some emotion in that. Wahoo.
Wahoo. Winning. Hashtag winning, which is fantastic. We love that hashtag. And then we've got Kimberly Carruthers. So non-scale victory. Someone was a little disappointed about her lack of noticeable change with photos and only a small loss on the scales, but pretty stoked about my running time this morning. Week 3, come at me. So isn't that good that she's Kimberly's noticed increases, you know, in her running prowess, which is fantastic. You know, she's decreased her running time, so something good must be happening. You know, it's not all about the scales. So that's a perfect NSV, Kimberly.
Congratulations, Kimberly. That's huge. So I found a few NSVs from a few different places over the past couple of weeks. So the first one goes to Josie Bailey. Josie, I went to actually read that as Jose, but so as a side story before we talk about Josie here, one of my good friends, he's Argentinian, okay, and when I told him the name of my boy George, he's like, ah, Jorge.
Oh, Jorge.
Jorge. And yeah, I was like, no. Yeah, so he's that, you know, that's how you'd pronounce George in like a Spanish dialect. Similar to like Jesus, you'd say Jesus, or Josie as Jose. But anyway, Josie Bailey, week three done. Basically gone up in all weights. Amazing what you can do with a little bit more focus driven by a challenge. Maybe, just maybe, seeing a bit of muscle after long walk to top off a great week and halfway mark coming up. So congratulations to Josie. That's awesome that you're starting to see a little bit of muscle development. And, you know, she really highlights that sometimes we do go through the motions with our training. You know, we've been training for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Sometimes we just go through the motions and it takes something like a challenge to kind of really drive us to push a little bit further. So congratulations. Yeah,
good one, Josie.
So the next one goes to Jody Clark. And this one was actually a post on the forum. So Jody was actually asking a question about her nutrition plan and such, but she goes, you know, this is the first time that I'm posting, which is awesome. Great that she's coming out and asking questions or, you know, engaging in our community. So that's firstly a non-scale victory. Next, she says that she's been following the plan 110%, which is great. And, you know, she's not seeing a big scale change, which is okay. But what she has noticed is that her resting heart rate has dropped, which is indicating that her fitness is increasing. So her heart doesn't have to work as hard to pump oxygen around her body, which I think is a non-scale victory because, you know, we can see changes in biomarkers like our overall heart health, our cardiovascular health, our fitness, without, you know, seeing big changes on the scale. So congratulations to Jody.
Well, I love that one. Good on you, Jody.
And the last non-scale victory that I found goes to, which I found actually was on Instagram. So this goes to Chris L. Keys, which is at K_Easy. And he just tagged the Max's Challenge in a post that he did. So I'm going to invite everybody listening here, if you're making a post on Instagram, you know, tag us either the Max's Challenge or the Maxine's Challenge so that we can see it, which is really cool. And he posted his week two check-in photo. And first thing he said was that he's got angry baby face kneecaps. So have you ever seen that before where people would talk about babies being stuck in knees?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what I'm talking about, go check out Chris L. Keys, which is at Key_Easy, where he posted a photo. And if you look at his knees, it kind of looks like little baby faces in there, but angry baby face kneecaps. But he says that he's been having fun over the last 2 weeks and crushing the home gym workouts, which is awesome for Chris. Congratulations. I'm glad that you're having fun with training, which is what it's all about, and that you're crushing the at-home workouts.
Mm, absolutely. Well done, everyone. That's a great selection of NSBs.
No, good job. Good job, everybody. Keep them up. The next segment here, Nick, is our Coach's Corner, where we're going to just give our tips for the week, our coach's tips. So, Nick, would you like to start us off?
I would. I'd like to start off with my CC tip of this week.
CC tip. Okay,
go. Yeah. So with this one, as we progress further into, say, typically a calorie deficit, some things might happen to us. One of the things might be that you feel a little bit tired. Now, there's obviously a different sort of tired to, as you would know, the tired of not getting a lot of sleep. So it could be, you know, there's that tired, but there's also the calorie deficit sort of tired where it can actually feel like you're wading through mud. Sort of everything slows down a little bit. You're feeling a little bit sluggish. You are actually in a calorie deficit, which means that you are burning more energy than you are consuming. So naturally, that's actually quite normal. So let's firstly not panic about it. It's probably, if you are in a fat loss phase, a reasonably good sign. You don't want to stay there forever and you want to find some strategies to mitigate this, but it's not the worst thing to happen to you. So some strategies. All right. So I personally love the idea of timing your meals. So definitely people say, oh no, I don't like to eat before training. I've seen that a few times. And one of the reasons was that it makes one person said it makes her more hungry. It makes her hungrier after if she starts eating. And I suggested that that's probably because she was able to train harder with food in her system, so did actually feel less fatigued. So that's actually not a bad thing. It's actually quite a good thing. But, yeah, so time your meals around your training and make sure that you space them out. That's one thing I would say. But also make sure that you really look at how you respond to meals. So you may want to have three big meals rather than lots of little meals, because I know I like to eat more rather than little tiny meals. I like to eat big meals. So I know that about myself, and I know that that leaves me feeling a bit fuller as I go on. Now, the other thing is make sure that everybody says this, but it's very true. Make sure that you're hydrated, because you can feel very fatigued sometimes when you're starting to get a little bit dehydrated when you're not drinking enough water. And another strategy is, I mean, you don't want to have too much coffee or anything like that, because that can actually dehydrate you, but use that before training. Yeah, make sure that you're having lots of leafy vegetables and fiber if you're also feeling quite hungry and fatigued. So that's our little hack for getting that little bit more volume in and foods that are filling, because I think nobody ever sort of over-consumed leafy vegetables that I know of. You know, you can kind of, you can afford to have a few of them. So they're my little tips, and really do try, as you are in a calorie deficit, to nail that sleep.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like it. Just touching on the idea of hydration. Now, we often get asked all the time, how much water should I be drinking? Or someone would say something like, oh, I drink, you know, 3 liters or 5 liters or 10 liters or however many liters of water, you know, water's not an issue. I just want to really highlight the difference between like water consumption and hydration, because they're similar, but they're also kind of different. Okay. So firstly, you know, we can't really tell you exactly how many liters to drink, because every individual is going to be different. So if anybody's out there saying that you need to drink X amount of liters of water, you know, that might not be the best advice, because, you know, everybody's different. You know, let's say me, Nick, I'm, you know, 100 kilos, yourself, maybe like 60 kilos. I'm almost twice your size. We can't say that both of us need 3 liters of water. I probably have more tissue to hydrate, so I might need more water than you do. Okay, so that's the first thing. The next thing is that some individuals would be tired and they go, oh, well, I need to drink water. So they would go and, you know, chug 2 liters of water, and then they go, well, I'm still tired. Just understand that, you know, it can take a little bit of time for your body to actually absorb that water. So if you've gone and just chugged 2 liters of water, great, you've got 2 liters in your stomach. That 2 liters isn't, you know, in your muscle tissue, in your connective tissue, like in your bloodstream. So just be patient with that idea of, and concept of hydration versus just drinking water.
True. It needs to have an opportunity to travel to places.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there is like some indicators, like looking at the color of our pee, which is, gets a little bit tricky. You know, for a guy, it's really easy because you can see it. For a girl, maybe not. So, you know, the idea is to like pee clear twice a day. That's like a saying. But, you know, if you're looking at your urine and it's really like this dark yellow, all right, you're probably not hydrated despite all of what you're drinking. But if you're going to the toilet and it's really clear, okay, we can cross that off being like, all right, you're well hydrated. But I do think that we all kind of know ultimately how hydrated we are, right? So like me right now, you know, I'm feeling a little bit thirsty. So if I was to rate it out of a 10, all right, I'm probably at maybe a 6 on hydration. So I'm probably going to go drink some water after this podcast. Whereas someone else who may be thinking about water right now is like, oh, well, I'm going to drink some water. So maybe if you're drinking some water right now, you know, you can think about it being like, all right, am I going to chug this? Is it going to sit in my belly? Am I going to have a belly full of water? Then I'm going to go try to squat or deadlift. How's that going to turn out? Yeah, so hydration, water, a little bit different.
When I used to do up to maybe 3 hours of spin a day, the amount of water that I used to consume was so much more than what I need now, like just doing my steps and my training. As in what I feel like I need, because I used to sweat so much. So I think it depends on your level of activity as well, because I would chug. But I've got a good habit of still chugging water and holding water with me at all times. I think it's a safety blanket or something.
Yeah. I think it's just like the fitness persona. We always seem to have a bottle of water nearby.
No, a soda stream we like, don't we?
I do like a soda stream.
Yeah.
But look, we've kind of spoken in the past about the idea of like, you know, salts and sodium. So all I'd say is don't forget that to add that extra conversation of, all right, if you're drinking lots of water, do you need to compensate by adding a little bit more sodium into your diet to compensate that? Because we do know that low sodium intakes can lead to feelings of lethargy and being tired. So that could also be another factor to throw in there.
True.
All right, Nick, look, I want to talk about a super awesome clickbaity title, which is how to modify your training strategy to manage external stresses. Ooh, how exciting of a title.
That's deep.
But look, the main takeaway is that, you know, me personally, I've had this really big life-changing moment becoming a dad. If anybody's a parent, they would know that I'm likely going to lose my sleep over the next couple of months, years, okay? And even now, you know, waking up in the night to, you know, feed baby and stuff like that, it's starting to impact my approach to training. Now, when we think about our training and we think about the recovery of that session, you know, ultimately there are big factors, which is our sleep, our overall nutrition, and then our training volume, and then our external stresses. Okay, so there's four main categories. We've got, yeah, sleep, nutrition, training volume, and our external stresses. For me, my sleep is slowly going down. I know that. My nutrition, I'm eating good quality food. I've ticked those boxes. We've got my training stimulus, is what I'm training right now. And then I've got my external stresses. So I do have more external stresses now. You know, I'm trying to work. I'm trying to support my family. I've got a baby now. I've got to worry about external things. So for me, my kind of pipeline is starting to get full with things. So I've got lots of things kind of on my plate right now in this moment of time. And I can't really make my pipeline that much bigger than what it is. So I do need to manage the stimulus coming in. And one of those things is to manage my training volume, because I can't really change my sleep right now. My nutrition is pretty good and I can't really, you know, change these other external stresses. So what's left? I need to modify my training volume so that I can still train without leading to, you know, this like threshold overload of being stressed, becoming overtrained. Okay. Now, I just want to talk briefly about what you can do to manage your training, okay? And this can be applicable to someone who might be in a similar situation to me. Maybe you are trying to do the challenge, you're feeling really tired, like what Nick has been saying, or you're just feeling really overwhelmed, you've got lots of things on your plate, maybe you've got, you know, sick kids, you've got financial stresses, you've got work deadlines to meet, maybe you need to move houses, you've just, you know, lost your home, whatever it is. There are external stresses that come into our lives, and it is about managing our training volume so that we can still be the best version of ourselves. Okay. So let's talk about what we can do. So the first one that we can do is to go through a deload, which is what I'm doing now. So a deload involves just reducing our overall training volume, meaning everything. So if we're our total training is, let's say, 10 out of 10, everything, we would just reduce that to maybe a 7 out of 10. So reducing it by about 30%. So that can be reducing the total amount of sets. That could be reducing the total weight that's on the bar, the total amount of reps that you do, just taking it back. And that could be for a couple of days or even a week. So for me, I'm taking this week as a bit of a deload. And what I'm doing is just reducing the intensity of some of my lifts, just slowing it down slightly. So I'm going into the gym. It's maybe like a third less of what I've been doing, taking it a little bit easy, going through the motions so that I can like recover over this next week. Then what I've done is I've created a new training program that does have slightly lower volume. So in the past, I was training, I was doing maybe four different exercises at 3 to 4 sets per exercise. So I was doing maybe between 10 and 15 sets in a workout. So that would take me, you know, about an hour, maybe just over an hour, plus, you know, a few warm-up sets in between. So now what I've done is I'm actually doing three exercises. So I'm looking at maybe like this, you know, 6 to 10 kind of sets in a workout. It might take me a little bit less, maybe that 45 minute mark. But that means that I can still train at a high intensity. So I can still do some heavy lifting with a lot less volume so that I can recover well, even though I have all these external stresses. And that still hits kind of this like minimum threshold so that I can continue to see growth. And still, you know, do the things that I enjoy, such as, you know, lifting heavy with like a lower volume. And I'm planning to do this over the next, you know, 6 weeks or even 12 weeks as, you know, I transition into this new phase in my life. And then I can slowly build up that volume again, where I can maybe do that fourth exercise or maybe add an extra set. So instead of doing like maybe, you know, these 6 to 10 sets, I can add it, I can increase it slightly to maybe, you know, push it to that 12th set, the 14th set, the 15th set, and bring myself back up to where I was before baby. So the main takeaway is that sometimes we can't change our external environment, our life stresses. In the best case scenario, we'd want to change them, but sometimes we can't. And what might be left is to change our training strategy. That might mean that we don't get the best results possible, and that's okay. But doing something is better than doing nothing. So we can scale what we're doing so that we can continue to train, so we can continue to see some sort of progress. So we can work towards our goals while still being the best version of ourselves.
So true. And that's the thing I think that you've nailed as well, where people will go, okay, well, if I can't train like I used to, then I'm not going to do anything at all. And that's where the all or nothing is the only thing that's going to let you down, not anything, not, you know, changing the volume. You know, that's okay. You're going to be fine. You might even come out of it stronger. We don't know. But we know that's just saying, right, that's it, nothing can be the same, that's your downfall, whereas you have already cruised past that. So first milestone of parenthood achieved.
First keeping milestone.
Keeping sense of self.
But look, just a few key things, because I'm sure people will probably scratch in their head about some concepts that I just spoke about. Firstly, training volume means the total amount of sets that you do. On most of our kind of more advanced training programs, you could see a volume summary, a volume like calculator, and it actually summarizes how many sets you're doing per muscle group. So if you're wondering, oh, well, what's my volume? You can kind of look at that number. You maybe choose to change some of the total, the sets that you do. At the moment, it might be 3 sets. If you change that number to 2, that would change the volume on that little table at the bottom of your training template. And then you could then be like, all right, well, if I feel 10 out of 10 when I'm training, you know, 20 sets per week, and then if I increase it to 25 sets per week, and then now I'm feeling a 6 out of 10 in terms of energy or, you know, stress levels, then that means that you're probably doing too much volume, depending on your recoverability. So that's the first thing. Next concept I kind of mentioned was like the minimum dose of training, which is hard to kind of quantify what is minimum dose. For hypertrophy, you were probably looking at about 10 sets per muscle group. Especially if you wanted to see growth, that's kind of like a minimum threshold. So if you wanted to see growth in your legs, you probably want to be doing, you know, maybe like that 10 sets at least per week. That could be all in one day or could be spread out. So that could be a guide that you kind of follow. And then for strength, if your goal is to build strength, like the SBD program, all it takes is actually just one hard set per week of a certain exercise. So let's say a squat. If you do one hard set at like, you know, an 8 out of 10 RPE, then we can see, you know, some progress in strength with a few back off sets of about, you know, 2 to 3 sets. So for me, I might do one heavy set on a squat and then do maybe 3 back off sets. So then I can still get this intensity so that I can see strength development as a minimum effective dose. But that's just for those who might be scratching their head about some concepts that I just spoke about.
That's why strength training is so bloody good as well, because you don't have to do as much of it.
No. Well, like, you know, if you really think about it, like strength training is like neurological training. We're training our nervous system primarily. Hypertrophy, we're trying to kind of training more like the muscle, the hardware, right? So the nerves being like the software, making ourselves strong. And then the hypertrophy, building muscle, is more the hardware, you know, building more muscle. And then, of course, we've got like that metabolic approach where we're trying to push our muscle to the limits. And that's more endurance training and stuff. But yeah, we love strength training because it's almost a little bit easier because we're just trying to train our nervous system. yes. Okay. But look, Nick, I've spoken a lot. Let's move on to some of our questions that we're going to answer this week. So the first one, a pretty common question, which is, how can I target fat around my belly? So Nick, would you like to answer this?
Yes, I would. I've had that question a couple of times. Funnily enough, it's mostly from men. So it's going to be, you can't really choose where the fat comes off, unfortunately. We'd all like to choose certain areas to remove the fat and probably keep it in other areas, but it doesn't work like that. So your body's going to lose fat from all sorts of different places first, and eventually, if you keep going, you will see those last little bits of fat come off, but you cannot spot reduce. You can't choose where it comes off. And the main takeaway from it is that you have to be in a calorie deficit. So you have to be eating less calories than you burn in a day. So I have no magic cream, no magic pill, nothing that's going to specifically target fat around the belly. So doing a whole bunch of crunches and things isn't going to remove the fat from your belly.
The only thing I'd add on to that is that, guys, genetically, we are more likely to hold body fat around our midsection, which is why you get this real classic like Homer Simpson look where, you know, little legs, big pot belly, just because of where we hold our body fat. Whereas for girls, genetically, more likely to hold body fat around our hips and thighs. Where that's where you get that real hourglass look where some girls get really lean in the midsection, almost have a six pack, but are still holding some body fat around their hips and thighs. So, unfortunately, guys and girls, if your target area is to lose body fat around your midsection or your hips and thighs, it is a little bit of a patience game where we've got to continue to focus on being in an energy deficit, continue strength training, and just be patient because that fat will go away.
It does go away. And like, say for me, I will have like a full six pack, even more pack on there before, say my hamstrings lean out. You know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is.
Yep. All right. I want to answer a question here, which is how to increase shoulder mobility. Ooh. This question was on the forum, and it was mainly talking about completing an overhead squat, which I've heard that, Nick, you are the queen of the overhead squat.
Yes. Yes, I'm the queen of the overhead squat. That's right. It's probably just because I can do it. You know, that's why I'm suddenly the queen. But I have practiced it a lot, and I've had various coaches over my time drill it into me. So it's a matter of practice. Like you're going to get good at things that you practice doing.
Within the like rehab space, you know, working as an osteo, like one of the highest levels of screen that you can do for someone to screen their overall mobility is to complete an overhead squat, because you need adequate shoulder range of motion, thoracic range of motion, hip range of motion, knee, ankle, like it's assessing so many joints as well as overall balance to keep this load above your head over the mid portion of your foot and then lower yourself down into a squat and stand back up. So it's a really high level, high skill activity to complete. Okay. But if you can do this right now and, you know, grab like a broomstick and hold that above your head, then lower yourself down into a squat and stand back up, great. You know, you tick all the boxes of highly level of mobility. If you can't do that, that's okay. You know, not many people can do it, and that can be something that we work towards. So the first one, if you want to do an overhead squat, is to practice, like what Nick said, is to practice it. Okay. Now, if you wanted to increase your shoulder mobility, a few great ones that I do is the first one is a dead hang. So you can jump onto a chin-up bar, pull-up bar, either with an overhand grip or an underhand grip, because they're two different positions, and just hang out. As a bonus, you get to train your grip, because I think most of us need good quality grip training. But if you really let, you know, your shoulder blades go, you can feel this really great stretch through your lats. Depending on your position, you can maybe feel it in your pecs as well, through your lower back. It can be a really great stretch to complete. For me, I don't have a chin-up bar at home, but I do it on a squat rack. So something like a rack pull-up. So if you see that on your training template, a rack pull-up, same position, I would set up a squat rack, hang on to it, and just like walk my feet out in front of me and really lower my hips down towards the ground. And it's a really nice big stretch through kind of like my whole body, which is a really great one for our shoulders. Talking a little bit more rehabby, one of the first ranges of motion to decrease with shoulder injuries is shoulder internal rotation, which is really important for an overhead squat position. Because if you're holding onto the bar, your shoulder needs lots of internal rotation so you can get into that position. And if you've lost your ability to internally rotate your shoulder, you'd be moving your scapula a lot. Which ends up, you know, you kind of get into this shrug position. So, you know, like that kind of crab pose that some people do. That's like the lifting up the shoulder blades. So for some of us, when we go to train our shoulders, we are developing our traps a lot because we don't have the shoulder range of motion. So if you're noticing that your shoulders aren't developing as well as you want them to, you may need to stretch your shoulders into internal rotation. And you could do that with something like a towel stretch. So you can grab like a sweat towel like you use in a gym, hold it in one hand, throw that over your head. So it's behind you, kind of like that tricep stretch you would do like in high school. And then try to grab the other end of the towel with your other hand, kind of like how you would touch your hands behind your back. But you're holding onto the towel either side. And then you could pull with one hand and then pull with the other hand so that you can slowly stretch your shoulders into internal and external rotation. That's probably a big one in stretching your shoulders, okay? But in a list, one would be the practice overhead stretch, two would be the dead hang, three would be that towel stretch.
And just take time to feel your way into it. And I would suggest don't chuck a huge weight over your head that you're going to be a little bit scared of, because you're probably not going to be able to get the depth there just simply because of fear. You'll seize up. So just a broomstick is fine. I reckon I spent 2 years with just a broomstick trying to do the snatch lift, and I just had to suck it up. You know, that was way.
Yeah, I was always afraid of that snatch. But once you nail that position, you're like, oh, Jesus, feels like the spot, you know, above your head, this
it's
load
really
above your head.
Cool. Yeah. It is cool, and that's possibly why I sometimes chuck it in to the classes, and that just because it feels cool, you know. And it's good to be able to put your body through different ranges of motion and just see where you're at. And it's good. It's a good pickup if you go, I'd like to be able to do that, but I can't do it, because then you can look at your limiting factors and see if it's something that you could work your way into doing.
The next question here is, what do I do if I miss a session, such as a training session? Do I make it up or do I skip it? Nick, would you like to answer this one?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of anxiety around that sort of thing, particularly sort of in say a program where you're probably still not quite sure of what you're doing every day. You probably don't have an attachment to any particular exercise. As you get maybe a little bit more advanced with your training, or you progress just a little bit more, you sort of will start to understand what you've already worked that week, what needs work, what's in your program, what you could possibly rearrange. Just say you skipped leg day that particular week because you were unwell, but then you felt better towards the end of the week, you might pop it in because that's an important day. So say for me, if I was sick and I would try and make up my leg day. But if it's just a basic program and you want to lose fat, it doesn't necessarily matter which one you're doing as long as you're moving every day. And the anxiety, I think, of trying to make up for lost time and lost workouts could actually cause you more harm than just getting on with it and getting on with the program. So if you've got a more advanced program and you've got goals that involve, you know, ticking off each thing for the week, then you could possibly just shuffle it all around and try and fit it in. But if your goals are just to continue on to progress with fat loss, then I would just stay on the day of the program that is your day, because otherwise, there's certainly no point in coming off being sick and doing like two sessions in one day. That would be counterproductive.
The last question here is about cardio, and should I do cardio, mainly implying our overall step count for the day, should I do cardio before or after my training session? Okay.
Yes.
Now, the first thing I'd say is that if your cardio is, you know, just going for a light walk for like 5 or 10 minutes to kind of get you in the mind frame of training, there's nothing wrong with training and doing something like that before you go and lift some weights. So if you are going on the treadmill for 5 or 10 minutes as a bit of a warm up, you're walking at like 5 kilometers an hour just to kind of get that heart rate going slightly and get your mind frame into training, no issues with getting a few steps in just before your strength training session, you know, going in and doing some resistance training. Now, if you are doing a longer bout of cardio, getting more steps in. So let's say you live a very sedentary life, maybe you have a sedentary job and your only option is to get onto a treadmill and get some steps in throughout the day, and you're really limited in time. You can only do those steps in at, you know, in the morning while you're at the gym because you've got to, you know, run to the kids to school and go to work and do all the things. Okay. If you do your steps before your training session, what will happen is that those steps will make you somewhat fatigued, add some level of fatigue to your training sessions. So if you walk into the gym at a 10 out of 10, you do some, you know, light cardio, maybe 2,000, 3,000 steps, you know, your, you know, excitability is now, instead of a 10 out of 10, maybe a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10. And that means that when you go and do some strength training, you are now starting at an 8 out of 10 when we want to be a 10 out of 10 with our strength training so that we can, you know, lift some heavy weights, we can apply some good stimulus onto our muscle and our body. And if we do that chronically over a long period of time, if we're walking into that strength training, that resistance, the weights room basically, at an 8 out of 10, over a long period of time, you're just, you know, leaving gains on the table. What would be a better strategy would be to complete your steps or some light cardio after your training session. So you go in at a 10 out of 10 readiness to train, excitability, 10 out of 10. You go in, you do some heavy squats, some heavy deadlifts, some heavy bench press, some, you know, overhead press, all the good things. Then you go and do a few thousand steps, you know, 1,000, 2,000, 5,000, whatever it is. Then you go home. So it would be better to do it after our resistance training session. Of course, it would be more optimal to do it far away from that session. So if you were to do like strength training at 6 in the morning, you would go and do some steps at, you know, 6 o'clock at night, you know, trying to do it away from our training session so we can recover. But I understand completely that logistically that is just impossible for some individuals who have lots on their plate, and that's just not possible. So main takeaway is that it would be better to do some sort of, you know, like cardio after your training session. Some cardio prior to your strength training session could be okay if it was just a warm up and it was kind of getting you into that, you know, mental mindset of doing something physical. And of course, for some of us who are way more advanced and really thinking about our nutrition, you may benefit from, you know, doing a strength training session, having something like a protein shake, and then going and doing some steps. So just breaking it up so you get some sort of fuel to start that like muscle building process, so it doesn't interfere too much with that anabolic response. But for many of us, that doesn't matter. But for some of us who are more advanced, you know, that's a strategy that we can implement as well. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah, we don't want to leave gains on the table.
No, no, because we want as many gains as we can.
We want all the gains.
Well, look, Nick, that wraps it up for episode number 35 of the Challenge Weekly Show.
Wow.
35. So if you've liked this episode, you can check out our other episodes. We've got 34 other episodes of our Challenge Weekly Show where we talk all about fitness, health, the challenge, and everything in between. If you enjoyed this episode, let us know. You can share it with a friend. You can share it on somewhere like Instagram or Facebook. You can let us know that you're watching it. We love getting a good DM about these podcasts. Of course, if you have any questions that you'd like us to answer, you can always reach out to us and we'll be able to answer it into the Challenge Weekly Show. And we will catch you next week for episode number 36.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening.